All right, welcome to part three of this religious vocabulary lesson. So today we're just going to talk a bit more about religious vocabulary. Okay, now why are people religious? Have you ever asked yourself that question? You know, what's the reason that people choose to be religious? Well, I think it boils down to two main reasons, okay? So either they think God wants something from them, or they want something from God, right? I think those are sort of the two main reasons why people are religious. So let's take a look at these two, okay? Let's look at the first one. God wants something from you. Now, what would God want from you? Well, he might want worship and praise, okay? Both of these words sort of mean the same thing. You know, you're just worshiping God, right? God, you're awesome. You're the best. You're great. Thank you for giving me life. You know, thank you that all my subscribers smashed like on this video. Okay. Now, what about evangelism? Do you know what evangelism is or sacrifice? Okay, God might want things like this, right? Let's take a look at evangelism. So evangelism just means spreading the message, right? Spreading the message of your religion. Okay, and people who do that are called missionaries. Okay, so if you go from like one place to another place and you tell those people about your religion, about your God, okay, then you are a missionary and you are doing evangelism. I need some water. Okay, so sacrifice. Do you know what sacrifice is? Now, sacrifice just means giving something up. Okay, you could give up anything, right? Like right now, you are sacrificing your time to watch this video. Thank you guys so much. You know, you could be doing anything. You could be sleeping, you could be eating, you could be watching Netflix, but you chose to watch this video. So thank you guys so much for sacrificing your time and watching my videos. I really appreciate it. You know, or you could sacrifice food. You know, you could sacrifice eating, right? That's called fasting. You know, if you don't eat for a day or for a week, you know, that's called fasting, right? Muslims fast in the month of Ramadan, right? From morning till evening for, I think it's a whole month. Is it exactly 30 days? I can't remember. And then Christians, you know, a lot of Christians observe the period of Lent. Okay, Lent is the period of 40 days before Easter. Okay, you remember Easter is usually in March or April. Right, it's based on the lunar, I don't know exactly. I think it's like sort of mid-March to mid-April. I can't remember. I should have checked before making this. But Easter usually falls in that range, right? Sort of March, April. So 40 days before that is sort of the period of Lent, and a lot of Christians fast, you know, during that period. Okay, so fasting is like a form of sacrifice. You know, or sacrifice could be this too, you know. A lot of places in the world throughout history have performed animal sacrifice where you kill an animal for some religious spiritual reasons, right? Maybe God wants that from you, or maybe you're trying to, I don't know, maybe you're trying to make God happy so that God gives you something. I don't know, right? So those are some examples of things God might, you know, want from people. Now, what about this? People want something from God. Okay, so what might people want from God? You know, what do you want from God? Well, you know, people might want salvation, or they might be sort of concerned about their afterlife, right? Or they might need a miracle, right? For example, if you're in a plane, if you're flying in a plane, and suddenly the plane starts going down, it's going to crash, right? You need a miracle. So you might say, God, save me. I need a miracle. Okay, so you're asking God for a supernatural event. Okay, so that's what a miracle is. A miracle is like a supernatural event, or you could describe it as an act of God, right? The pilots don't know what to do. The plane is, something's wrong with the plane. You're going down. You need God to intervene. Right, intervene. You need God to come into the situation and do a miracle, right? So that's what miracle means. Now here's a very important word in, especially in Christianity. You'll hear this word a lot in Christianity. Okay, the word is salvation. I need to give my throat a little bit of salvation right now. All right, so salvation just means deliverance. Okay, so, you know, if you're in a plane and the plane is going down and God gives you a miracle, right, then you could say God gave you salvation, right, because God delivered you. Okay, so it could mean that, but most of the time when people use the word salvation, they're sort of talking about like a spiritual sense. You know, not really a physical, you know, way of being saved. Just sort of talking about something religious, right? For example, you might hear a Christian say, you know, are you saved? And this guy says, yes, Jesus saved my soul, right? Jesus saved my soul. So that's sort of, you know, sort of has to do with like a spiritual meaning, right? We're not talking about being saved from, you know, from a, you know, a plane that is about to crash. They're talking about like their soul, right? I think a lot of people, maybe especially Christians, have this idea that, you know, if people are going to hell and God saves them, God gives them salvation, right? Then that's the moment that they, you know, their course in life is changed, right? You know, first they were going to hell and then God intervened and saved their soul and now they're on their way to heaven. I think that's, you know, sort of basically what people think of when they hear the word salvation. So basically it sort of has the idea of God forgiving your sin, right? You're going to hell because, you know, you're a bad person, you've done some bad stuff, right? But then God forgives you and now you're on your way to heaven. Okay, so I think that's sort of what most people enters their mind when they think of salvation. Now, Christians believe that salvation is by grace through faith. By grace through faith. What does that mean? Salvation by grace through faith. Well, it means this, okay? God gives a person grace and mercy. Okay, these words basically mean the same thing. Okay, God gives a person that, and then the person responds by putting their faith in God. Remember faith? We talked about that in the last lesson. It sort of means like belief, trust. Okay, if you put your faith in something, you believe in it, right? Very strongly. Okay, so God gives a person, you know, forgiveness, grace, mercy, and then the person responds by putting their faith, right? That's what it means. Salvation by grace through faith, right? There's a Bible verse in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Okay, so that's what we're talking about here, right? We're talking about salvation, right? Being saved. So this is like a person's faith, right? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So that's what it's talking about, faith, right? It's talking about God responding to something that God has done for you. Now, the opposite of that, the opposite of salvation by grace through faith is salvation by works. Okay, now some religions sort of have this idea that at the end of time, God is going to weigh your deeds, your good deeds and your bad deeds. If you did more good deeds than bad deeds, then you're going to go to heaven. But if you did more bad deeds, well, you know, tough luck, then you're going to hell. You've been a bad person. So what are some examples of bad deeds? You know, well, you know, maybe like murder. You know, if you kill someone, that's terrible, right? That's a bad deed. Or I don't know, if you steal money, it's a bad deed. Or maybe blasphemy. Do you know what blasphemy is? Blasphemy is saying something against God, you know, saying something bad, right? That's blasphemy or sacrilege, right? For example, if I say, I'm God. Did you know that? Me, Mark, I am God. You might be thinking, that's blasphemy. You're not God, Mark. You're just a normal person with big ears and a big nose. Okay, maybe I'm not that normal. I've got bigger ears than average and a bigger nose than average. But, you know, you might look at me and you say, you're not God, Mark. I mean, maybe you do think I'm God. I don't know. But you probably think I'm not God. So if I say I'm God, right, that would be, you know, that would be like blasphemy. I'm blaspheming, right? I'm committing sacrilege. Or if you say something like this, God is a pig. What? God's not a pig. No, no, you don't say that. Do not say that God is a pig. That is blasphemy. That's sacrilege. Okay, this is serious, right? In a lot of religions, you know, and throughout history, people have been killed for this, for blasphemy or for, you know, committing sacrilege. You know, here's another example, okay? Remember in the last lesson, I taught you guys about communion. You know, if you go into a church and if you see Christians drinking like wine and eating bread, right? They're partaking in the Lord's Supper, which is also called communion or the Eucharist, right? And so you might see, you know, a very fancy cup like this. It's for wine, right? It's for wine. And if it's like in a Catholic church, the priest will give wine to the people when the people come forward to take communion. Okay, this is called a chalice. This kind of a fancy cup for communion is called a chalice. Now, let's say I take this chalice home and I put some Pepsi in there and I just relax and, you know, throw on some Netflix and, you know, just drink some Pepsi out of the chalice, right? That would be sacrilege, right? Sacrilege. Now, usually we use the word blasphemy for something you say, something spoken. Like if you say something bad about God, that would be like blasphemy. And usually we use the word sacrilege for something you do, you know, like if, for example, this, if you drank Pepsi out of this, that would be considered sacrilegious. That would be a sacrilegious thing to do. Now, why would it be sacrilegious? Because this is sacred, right? It's seen as something sacred. Okay, so the word sacred means like sort of very special, you know, sort of holy, set apart for a religious purpose, right? This is not for the purpose of drinking beer or for drinking Pepsi or whatever else you want to drink. I don't know what you drink. Let me know down in the comments what you typically like to drink. But this is only for wine, right? We're talking about the blood of Christ, right? That's what communion is. You're drinking wine that is sort of symbolic of the blood of Christ. So it's a very sacred thing. Okay, that's what the word sacred means. Now here's a word that you might recognize, and that's the word karma. Okay, karma just sort of means, you know, good luck. Especially, you know, you'll find this word in Eastern religions, you know, like Buddhism, Hinduism, I don't know, Jainism, Taoism. Okay, all those religions, like in, for example, China, India, Japan, Thailand, those are sort of lumped into what we call Eastern religions. So if you hear the term Eastern religion, it just means we're talking about religions from the Far East, that area. Not the Middle East, not Europe. I mean, obviously those religions are all around the world, right? There are Buddhists in Canada, there are Hindus and every kind of religion here in Canada. But when you hear the term Eastern religions, that's what it means, those kind of religions. Okay, so you hear the word karma, especially in those religions, but I guess it's sort of become a common word even in English. It just sort of means good luck. Okay, so take a look at this guy, right? This guy does something and, you know, whatever he does is going to come back on his own head, right? Maybe not right away, but sometime in the future, you know, if, for example, if he does something nice to help poor people, right, then he's going to get that return to him. Or if he does something bad, you know, treats poor people badly, well, then he's going to have bad karma, right? It's going to come back. Okay, so here's another word, the afterlife. Okay, now this is a sort of a very important concept. You know, this is probably one of the main reasons why people choose to be religious, right? Is because they want to know what's going to happen after they die. You know, when you die, what's going to happen? You don't want to go to hell, right? You want to go to heaven, or you want something good. You don't want something bad, right? So this is a very important concept in religions. And you could call it life after death, or you could say the hereafter. You know, what's going to happen in the hereafter, right? Or you could talk about heaven and hell or reincarnation, right? Reincarnation is again mainly in like Eastern religions. In Christianity and Islam, you know, this idea, it's not really, you know, it doesn't really fit in those religions. But in like Hinduism and Buddhism, yeah, it's this idea is quite prevalent in those religions. Basically, what it means is just sort of the cycle of life, right? You know, if you die, you don't end, you come back as something else, right? So let's say this guy did some bad things in his life, you know, he might be reincarnated as like an insect or something, right? And then, you know, the insect, when the insect dies, it might be reincarnated into like a rabbit, and then maybe into like an eagle, and then whatever. You know, it's sort of that idea, the cycle of life, right? That's called reincarnation. Okay, now here's a very important word in, especially in Christianity, you'll hear this word a lot. Okay, resurrection. Okay, that just means rising from the dead. Okay, so there's a guy, he's dead, and then he comes back to life. You could say he resurrected. Okay, that's that idea is called resurrection. Now, when you hear the resurrection, you know, if you hear Christians talking about, or anybody really talking about the resurrection, you know, there's a very good chance that it's going to mean talking about Jesus, right? I'd say most of the time you hear this, the resurrection, it's talking about Jesus rising from the dead, right? You know, after Jesus was crucified, they put his body in a tomb. Okay, a tomb is like a grave in the olden days. I don't know if people still use tombs. Do they still use tombs in your country? I've never seen a tomb here in Canada, but maybe, I don't know. I'm not an expert on death and burials and that kind of stuff. But, you know, so obviously, you know, they put Jesus in here, and then, but Jesus didn't stay in there. Jesus rose again, right? That event, that's what Easter is about. That's why Christians celebrate Easter. They celebrate, you know, the resurrection of Jesus. Okay, now here's a word that you often hear with the resurrection. Okay, so, you know, the idea is that at least in Christianity, and I think in Islam as well, that at the end of time, God is going to raise people from the dead. Okay, so imagine if I die, right, I'm dead, but then at the end of time, God is going to raise me from the dead. That's also called the resurrection. But then you're probably going to hear it with this word here, judgment day. Okay, judgment day is sort of the idea. It's the day when God judges, you know, all people. Okay, so let's say, you know, here we are now, right? And here's eternity. Well, before eternity, there's going to be the resurrection where everybody rises from the dead. And then there's going to be judgment day. Now, I think what most people sort of have in their mind when they hear the judgment, you can call it the judgment or judgment day. Okay, it's your choice. They both mean the same thing. Okay, so at the judgment, you know, I think most people sort of believe that God is going to judge a person and either, you know, send them to heaven or to hell. Okay, so that's sort of, that's what people mean by the judgment. God is the judge, and God is going to judge people and either send them this way or this way. I think that's sort of the concept most people have in their mind when they hear the word like the judgment or judgment day. Okay, now here's another very important word in Christianity and probably other religions too, you know, it's the idea of repentance. Repentance, okay? It just means apologize and change. Not just apologize, right? Apologize means to say sorry, right? Imagine if I stole some money, right? And then I said, oh God, I'm sorry for stealing money. I'm so sorry. There's a bit more money over there. I'm going to steal that money. Oh God, I'm sorry for stealing money. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. Oh God, I'm so sorry for stealing money. I'm so sorry. Right? That's not repentance, right? That's just saying sorry over and over again, right? So the idea of repentance is apologize and change. It literally means to turn around. Okay, so, you know, if you want to repent from stealing, that means you have to stop stealing, right? You have to go in the other direction. You can't keep stealing. That's not real repentance. That's using the system, okay? In English, we have the idiom using the system. That means you're abusing the system. So in this case, you're playing around with God's mercy, God's grace, right? That's not responding with faith, remember? Salvation by grace through faith, right? If you just do this idea, oh, forgive me, and then you keep doing, that's not real repentance. That's not real faith, right? To have faith in God means you're actually going to change your life. You're going to take it seriously, right? So that's an important word. Now, you might have heard the word atonement. Atonement. I don't know. It's more of a sort of more specialized, not specialized, but it's maybe not the most common word, but maybe you've heard it. Okay. Especially in Christianity. Okay. So in Christianity, the idea is that the relationship between people and God has been severed. Okay. Do you know what severed means? Severed means like cut off or broken. Okay, so people and God, the relationship has been damaged in some way. Now, why? Why is that? Well, it's because of people's sin, right? Sin means doing something bad, something that God doesn't want, right? And God is perfect, right? And perfection can't have a relationship with imperfection. Right, so there's been a separation. Now you might have seen some sort of model like this in Christianity. Okay, so you got people there, you've got God there, and you've got a big like chasm. A chasm means like a canyon or a thing you can't cross it. Right, it's a chasm. But because of Jesus, the relationship between people and God has been restored, or it can be restored if people put their trust in God, right? So that's a very important concept in Christianity. You know, if you ask any Christian, what is Christianity? They're probably going to tell you something like this. Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins so that we can be right with God. You know, so there's the separation, isn't there? That's what atonement means. Okay, atonement. Look at this word, at-one-ment, right? If you separate these, at-one-ment. Okay, that's what it means, at-one-ment, right? Atonement. You're becoming sort of together. The relationship is restored. It's not broken anymore. Now the relationship is at one. Okay, now here's a Bible verse that sort of talks about this, okay? It says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. Okay, so that's, we're talking about this idea of atonement, right? Reconciliation, right? Do you know what alienated means? Alienated means separated, okay? And reconciled means brought together as one. Okay, so that's what this verse is talking about, or these series of verses. Okay, this is Colossians chapter 1, verses 21. Now, somebody recently asked me in the comments, how do you say this? Like, how do you physically say a Bible verse? Okay, well, you say the name of the book. Okay, so in this case, the book's name is Colossians, right? In the Bible, there are 66 books. So you would say Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 to 23. Because it's a range, right? If it's just one verse, then you would say Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. If it was two verses, you would say 21 and 22, or you could say 21 to 22. But if it's like a longer range, you know, if you're talking about like a five or 10 verses, you'd say, you know, chapter 1, verses 5 to 18 or something like that, right? So that's how you say that, just a side note. Okay, so that's the concept of atonement. If you hear people talking about atonement, just remember at one minute. We're talking about Jesus bridging the gap between God and people so the relationship can be restored. Okay, let's shift gears a little bit. Let's switch gears. Do you know what that means? You know, if you're driving and you change gears, you shift gears, that means you're going to start driving a different speed, right? You can't just drive in one gear. You need to change gears so you can go faster or slower. So in English, it's an idiom. If we say let's shift gears, it means we're going to move from one topic to another topic. I mean, in this case, it's the same topic. It's just a slightly different, it's just a little bit different. So I can say, let's shift gears here. Okay, so let's talk about a cult. Okay, have you heard this word? Now, this is a very interesting word. Okay, so the word cult sort of means a religion, but not really. Okay, we're talking about a smaller group that is usually sort of related to a religion, but weird. Okay, cults are weird. I'll give you an example. Okay, who is this? Do you know this guy here? Okay, this guy is from Australia. He's alive today. Okay, I think he lives in Australia. And do you know who he is? Well, he claims to be Jesus. Okay, he says, I am Jesus. Wow. But Christians, most Christians say, no, you're not Jesus. You're not Jesus. How are you Jesus? You're not Jesus. You're Alan John Miller. Okay, that's his real name. Okay, his real name is Alan John Miller, but he says he's Jesus. He claims to be Jesus. Okay, so that's an example of a cult. Okay, so he has people following him, right? He has his own religion. But in this case, it's better to use the word cult because it's not very big. I don't know how many, like cults can have just a few people, or cults could be huge. Like, I don't really know, how you would define the difference in population, or the number of followers between a religion and a cult. But like I said, cults are usually weird, and usually they're smaller. Okay, so I don't think a lot of people follow this guy. I don't think a lot of people believe that he's Jesus. Let me know down in the comments. Do you believe that this guy Alan John Miller is Jesus? Hey, maybe you do. And if you do, well, you're still welcome here, because Mad English TV is a place for all people. So even if we disagree, even if I disagree with you, I just want to say you're welcome here, even if you have some ideas that are a bit cuckoo. Okay, cuckoo means just a bit weird, a bit, not right in the head. If you're a bit messed up here in the noggin, right? Noggin means brain. Okay, now why do people start cults? What's the reason for it? Well, I would say most of the time people are looking for fame, or they're looking for money, or they're looking for sex. They're trying to get some power or something so they can get sex, money. I think most of the time it's like this. So if the founder of your religion, ask yourself, if the founder of your religion, got fame, money, sex, if that's what they were trying to do, it might mean that you're following a cult. You're following a false religion. I thought, that's a great idea. I should start a cult. Okay, so I decided to start the METV cult. Hey, do you want to join my cult? You can join my cult by sending me $1. That's it. You just have to give me $1, right? Send me $1 on PayPal. My PayPal is right down there in the description. And you can join my cult. Wow. Wouldn't you love to be part of the METV cult? So just click the PayPal link in the description. Send me $1 and you will be an official member of the METV cult. So hey, let's do some homework. My homework question for you guys today is what does God want from you? If you are religious, I mean, if you're not religious, then you don't have to do the homework today. But if you believe in God, if you follow a religion, what does God want from you? And what do you want from God? It's a very interesting question. I'd be interested to know your answer. Okay, so let me know your answer right down there. Hey, so this is part 3 of the religious vocabulary series. I might make more in the future. If you want me to make more parts, let me know which vocabulary, you'd like me to talk about in the future. But in these, 3 or 4 lessons that we've covered so far, I think we've covered some great vocabulary. So I think now you'd be ready to have a religious discussion with someone. Great. That'd be great. So anyway, let me know your answer, and let me know if you want to make me to make, you know, future lessons in this series, and which vocabulary words. Like I said, I mean, there are so many words, right? When we talk about religion and spiritual stuff, there's just hundreds and thousands of words. But I just tried to pick the most important words and teach them to you guys. So hope you guys learned some stuff. Hope you enjoyed this series. Let me know your answer to the question down there. Hey, hope you guys are having a wonderful day wherever you are. And I'll see you, or how do I end? How do I usually end these videos? What do I say? I'll see you over in the next episode of Mad English TV. Take care.